Precious Father, again, we sit at your feet with open heart, willing to listen to your voice, listen to the message you would have through your word today. And we give you praise and glory, Lord, that as we do listen and apply it, that you will not let us down. In Jesus' holy name, amen. It has been said, and you have heard it, that the safest and the happiest place in this whole world is to be where Jesus wants you to be, where God wants you to be, and doing what he wants you to do. And I want to be there, don't you? And as born-again Christians, there are many that are unsure if they are doing what God wants them to do. And yet the truth is that God has given to every Christian believer a unique job description. He's never meant for us to be in the dark about ourselves. He never meant for us to begin to wonder and say, well, just what is it that God would have me to do? God has a unique job description for you and you and you and you and myself included. And as we open the scriptures, that unique job description is called, very simply, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And there's anyone here today that's a little unsure about spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift and what does this all mean? Well, you're in good company because the Apostle Paul, as he spoke to the Christians in Corinth, he said these words in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 1. Brethren, he said, I would not that you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. If we are to better understand the will of God in our lives, and that has been the desire and the direction of the theme that we've had for a good many weeks as I've come and talked with you, to know what God's will is in our lives, to hear his voice. If we want to understand God's will for us uniquely, the unique person you are, then as you open the Word of God, you will discover that he has a unique job description for you, which is called the spiritual gift. And I want to share with you that once a month throughout the year of 2007, I want to take the time and share with you and talk with you about each one, at least a good many of the spiritual gifts that are noted in the Bible. So we can better understand, what is it that God has called me uniquely to do on the basis of the Bible, the Word of God? But first things first. You see, there's something that you and I must know and experience first. There's something that you and I must know and believe in our hearts first before God reveals his spiritual gift to us. Now listen carefully. We must first know that we are filled with his Spirit in order that God would begin to reveal his gifts to us and make known and make his gifts more efficient through us. We need to know that we are filled with his Spirit. I have had the opportunity and the privilege to teach classes on spiritual gifts over the years. And as I've met with people and I've worked with people, I can relate to their journey. I've been there too. There's been a pattern. It's been a very interesting pattern. And I went through this as well. And it goes like this. First of all, some Christians have a hard time discovering what unique abilities that God by his Holy Spirit has given to them. And the reason why is not that God has left them out. Oh, no. Every Christian has the Spirit of God. Every Christian has been gifted. But it's because their gift, as it were, is buried or it's lying dormant. And the only way it's going to come to life and enlivened is as they begin to experience the filling of the Spirit. And as many of you know, what that means is that the Holy Spirit who dwells already in our lives, we cooperate with him and he takes more control of our lives. More control of our lives. And so we need to be energized first, and then God will reveal his gifts to us. Now, there's another reason why spiritual gifts are sometimes lying dormant in our lives and we're ineffective in ministering through our spiritual gifts, and that reason is fear. We're afraid. Some of us, I venture to guess that when you heard the word today, spiritual gifts, immediately you were afraid because you have heard of the counterfeit gift of tongues. You've heard of the counterfeit manifestation of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. Oh my, what is Pastor Ken leading us into? And I want to share with you today that if we know from experience a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He will lead us to the Word of God and help us to know what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. We do not have to fear as He leads us and we put ourselves first in His hands. On the other hand, there are Christians who understand what gifts God has given to them. And yet, they know that as they have sought to use these gifts, they just don't seem to have a saving influence, a healing influence for Jesus Christ. And what they are experiencing here is self is still in control. Christ is still not central. One Christian said it this way to another Christian. They said, God gave you that voice, but you have been singing it to the wrong father. Think about that. In other words, self is in control. We haven't experienced brokenness. We haven't allowed the Spirit who is dwelling there to have control. And then, as a result of that, when we do sing, we're singing to another father, as it were. In other words, we're not giving God the Father the glory, but we're taking the credit. We're giving the glory to ourselves. But once those Christians allow the Holy Spirit who dwells in their lives to begin to take control of their lives, then God, by the power of His Spirit, begins to enliven them and use them so they can be able to be effective in their use of their gifts. And it will be not for self-glorification, but now it will be for the glorification of God. Amen. And so as I look out in the congregation today, I'm looking into the eyes of many gifted people. You are gifted. If you are a Christian believer, you are gifted. And the most important gift of all that every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ have, we have the gift of the saving righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the gift of what He has done for us. His life and His death and His resurrection. He has given His whole life for you and me. It is the greatest of all gifts. And as we accept this gift of the saving righteousness of Jesus Christ, He gives to us yet other gifts. You are gifted. And so upon receiving this wonderful gift of the righteousness of Christ, He gives to us yet also the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful gift the gift of the Holy Spirit is. And as we also have the Spirit of God dwelling in our lives, the Holy Spirit has given to us many different spiritual gifts. Each Christian has one or more spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit, He is the one who decides what gifts we should have. And these gifts are not for self-edification, but they are for the building up of the body of Christ. They are for Christian service. You and I, as we trust in Jesus Christ, are gifted indeed. Gifted indeed. But if some of us are honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that, Pastor Ken, I've heard about spiritual gifts, and I'm a little afraid of them still. Or maybe some of us might admit, well, I think I'm a little ignorant. I'm just not too sure I understand what it's all about. This Bible doctrine, yes, it is a Bible truth. In fact, it's one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, taught in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, spiritual gifts. I don't really know what my gifts are. I'm serving in a church office. The nominating committee asked me to serve in, but I really don't really know what my gifts are. And so others of you may be thinking, well, I do have particular gifts and abilities, but I have not been very successful in building up the body of Christ. As I've been taking over months and over years, I've seeked to witness to my boss, to my fellow employees, to my fellow students at school, to my loved ones that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just don't sense I'm having much of an impact in their lives. And you know what God's answer to you and me is? God's answer is this. First things first. First things first. Before we can discover and exercise the gifts that God has given us, in order to have a saving impact, we must first know the unction to function. First, we need to be energized for service by having a daily infilling of the Spirit of God. Another way to say the same thing, we must, as the Apostle Paul said, die daily. And so here's the million-dollar question. And it goes like this. Why should God help us to discover our gifts and to have a saving influence through our gifts if we haven't first experienced this power from on high? With that question in mind, I want to invite you to join me as we turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts of the Holy Spirit. This is the book that speaks of the Holy Spirit. I love the book of Acts. Sometimes we call it the Acts of the Apostles, but it should be called really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And as you're turning there, I want to share with you a story. And the story is just a little longer than some of the stories that I've shared in the past, so do keep your Bible open to Acts chapter 1. I want to tell you the story that happened in the World Bank, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C.'s World Bank has a lot of employees, some 6,500 employees. That is a lot of people. And there in that bank, there was a young lady by the name of Samia. Samia, a Lebanese Seventh-day Adventist Christian. She had worked in the World Bank for 10 years. And I want to share with you her story because maybe some of you here today can relate to her story. I certainly could. A few years ago, she received a phone call from her brother, 24 years of age, and this is what her brother said. When I put the phone down from talking to you, I'm going to take a gun and I'm going to shoot myself in the heart. And as you can imagine, she was filled with anxiety. Samia pleaded for him not to do it. She pleaded, and he said, I want to thank you for trying to share your faith, and then he hung up. Immediately, she called her older brother and paved the way for him to get on the plane and make his way to Seattle, to Washington University, as soon as possible, to get there, to be with the brother. He arrived 2 hours late. 24 years old, he had shot himself in the heart. And my pastor friend, Bill, who shared this story with me about Samia, he met with Samia maybe a week or two after this happened. And as you can imagine, she was in the pits. She was depressed and miserable. She was uncertain about her future. And even her boss at the World Bank could tell. He made it known. He said, in essence here, I don't know why Samia even professes to call herself a Christian, because a crisis develops and she has no evidence of faith. And this was voiced all over the place. And she got word of it and she became depressed all the more. Now, Pastor Bill was meeting with those, including Samia, as Samia was taking this class on spiritual gifts. And she came to that class. And Pastor Bill, immediately, as he got acquainted with Samia, began to see that probably she had the gift of evangelism. That was one of the spiritual gifts, by the way. We are all witnesses, but there is a unique gift called the gift of evangelism. But it wasn't evident. It was still buried. It was still lying dormant. And then one evening, she stayed after class. And he shared this with her. You know, Samia, you could choose to spend the rest of your life regretting what has happened. Truly, you loved your brother, and it was a most unfortunate thing. Or you could decide to grow through this experience and recognize that you are much more capable of understanding others who go through a crisis and plan by the grace of God to allow the Holy Spirit to use the gift that I believe that you have to help people. You have been given the gift of evangelism. You have no fear in talking and working with people. God has a place for you. And then Samia asked that million-dollar question. What's it going to take, Pastor Bill? What's it going to take? Oh, I pray that you're asking that question as you consider your spiritual life, whatever setting of life you find yourself in. What's it going to take, Lord, in order for me to be used of you in a special way with whatever gift you've given to me to have a special saving impact through my life? What's it going to take, Lord? And Pastor Bill made this statement in response to the question. He said, Sammy, it's going to take the filling of the Spirit. And she said, Pastor, I want to give God the glory. I need that experience. Now again, to be filled with the Spirit means not that we have the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit already. But not every Christian is experiencing a greater control of the Spirit of God, which the Bible calls the baptism or the filling of the Spirit. Pastor Bill said, I don't believe that you are ready at this moment, Samia, to receive this promised experience. You need to first seek to follow the conditions or the steps. And I believe that is very important counsel. And then he said this, this is not something you treat lightly. I don't encourage people to seek the anointing of the Holy Spirit and take the steps that are required. God doesn't pour out a Spirit's baptism on those who are just playing games with Him. Are you serious, Samia? Do you truly want the Holy Spirit to take greater control of your life? Do you want a closer walk with Jesus Christ? Do you really want that? Samia said, yes, I do. Then I encourage you to take the steps and follow the conditions for receiving the filling of the Spirit. And I'll share those with you briefly today. She said, I'm ready. I'm ready, Pastor, to consider it. Well, a couple of weeks went by, and she met with Pastor Bill after class. And she said to Pastor Bill as she approached him, those words that she said as she left him last time, Pastor Bill, I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready, my friends? Have you sought to fulfill the conditions that are necessary to prepare your heart and your life so the Spirit of God can have a greater control in your life? Pastor Bill's response to Samia was great. I'm so thankful that you've taken this seriously. And so they knelt together, and Pastor Bill prayed, and Samia prayed that the abilities that God gave to her would be more than talents and gifts that would be used for self-glorification, but they would be used for the glory of God. Amen? For the building up of the body of Christ, for sharing her faith, to have a saving impact through her life. They prayed that. You see, Samia, here she is, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. She needed to be energized for service. Energized for service. She had the Spirit, but the Spirit did not have her. But now she was ready, and she understood what the conditions were for receiving the filling of the Spirit. And so she sought to fulfill those conditions by faith. She knelt before God and asked Him for His special anointing from the Spirit. She needed the anointing before she could receive the appointing. Here Samia worked at the World Bank for 10 years and never really effectively witnessed. And as I learned a little bit more about Samia, I saw myself in her. Here I am, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, growing up all my life as a Seventh-day Adventist. You've heard my story where I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist and I later became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I knew the truth. I was sharing the truth, but I didn't know very much about the truth giver, Jesus Christ. I didn't have much of a relationship with Him. I knew the doctrines. I knew what was right and wrong, but I didn't know much of a relationship with Christ. That was where Samia was. She knew the truth, but she didn't have much of a relationship with the truth giver, Jesus. But what do you think happened? What do you think happened when Samia took the steps required on the basis of Scripture and God filled her with the Spirit? Well, before I share with you that, let me share with you a statement that a Christian writer wrote, a Christian lady, which I really believe was filled with the Spirit. It's actually in your notes or the outline in your bulletin. It's found in Volume 1 of the Testimonies on page 121. Listen to what the Christian writer has to say. This has been such an encouragement for me. And I especially would like to encourage our dear friends going to Cuba. You read this. Take this with you. Put it in your Bible. Read it often. It's a great promise. Quotes, when the servants of God pray, that's you and me, when the servants of God pray for His Spirit and blessing, that's the filling of the Spirit, it sometimes comes immediately, but it is not always then bestowed. At such times, faint not, don't get discouraged, let your faith hold on fast to the promise that it will come. Let your trust be fully in God, and often that blessing, again, that blessing is the filling of the Spirit, to be used of the Spirit of God, that blessing will come when you need it most. And you will unexpectedly receive help from God when you are presenting, what does it say there? Presenting the truth to unbelievers, and will be enabled to speak the Word of God with clearness and power. Do you need that? Do you want that? I desire that. Well, Samia believed that God would give her the filling of the Spirit when she needed it most. Not when she wanted it. Lord, I want it right now. No, He determines when. And sure enough, she went to work. She sought to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And just her facial expressions, her attitude was different. She was now, rather than holding her security on truth alone, she was holding on to the truth giver, Jesus Christ, and a relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit was using her, and people began to open up their lives to her. People wanted to talk to Samia in a way that they had never thought they would feel comfortable in talking with her before. And even the director of the office, the number one man, saw the difference and called her into the office and said this, Samia, I want to know what's happened to you. And this is what she said in response. Well, I'll tell you, but it could happen to you too. And then she shared what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for her in her life, and he was impressed, and it dropped a seed in his life. Here she was, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but after 10 years in the World Bank, not having much of an impact. But that changed, friends. That changed. Why? Because she learned the importance of first things first. God has filled her with the Spirit. And now as she takes and receives a fresh supply of grace each and every day, how do you receive a fresh supply of grace every day? You're looking at it right now. You're holding it right now. The Word of God. As you and I take the time each and every day and we open the Word of God and we get to know Jesus, by beholding Him, we become changed. As we take in the Word of God, how's it go in Colossians 3 verse 16? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the same as being filled with the Spirit of God. A Word-filled Christian is a Spirit-filled Christian. And now she's able to have an impression and be used of the Lord in a powerful way. Why again? Because now, through this powerful on high, the gifts that God has uniquely given to her are energized for service, and God can use her. I ask you today, is that biblical? Is this really in the Word of God, or is this just something Pastor Ken came up with? I needed to preach a sermon, I needed to say something today, so I'll share this with you. No, no, friend. This is scriptural. This is biblical. It's taught in the Bible. You turned with me. You've been holding your Bibles open to Acts chapter 1. I thank you. I want to share with you a key verse that I believe is to be used by God to enliven and help us to understand the place of our spiritual gifts in order for them to have a saving impact through us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to look at this one verse. Follow with me as I read. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, what does it say? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to who? To me, Jesus Christ, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, you'll notice the last part of verse 8. Keep your Bibles open still. It says here, you will be witness concerning me, about me, and then it goes on and describes where we are to witness for Christ. It says, we see the geography, right? Here, the geography part. First, we begin witnessing concerning Jesus at Jerusalem, and then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. I would like to suggest something that I've shared with you way in the past, that you look at this verse not only in terms of geography, but in terms of relationships, Now, in terms of relationships, Jerusalem, in terms of geography, was closest to them. That's where they were to begin. They were to start with Jerusalem. And if you study the book of Acts, that's exactly what they did. They started there at Jerusalem. And God is telling us here in a spiritual way that we must start with Jerusalem. In our principle of relationships only, that represents those who are closest to us, our unsaved loved ones. And then the next one out, as you look at Israel, is Judea. And Judea represents our neighbors and our friends, our fellow employees, our fellow students, people that we know. And then in terms of relationships, we have now Samaria. Samaria, you know anything about Samaritans? Samaritans were Jews that intermingled with the Gentiles. They used to be a part of the church, as it were, but they're no longer attending. And so in a spiritual sense, that would mean the non-attending members, And then the uttermost parts of the world, strangers in relationships, strangers, those that we come in contact with every day. Now listen carefully to what I want to share with you next. Are you getting tired of coming to church and seeing some empty spaces that used to be filled with people that you know and you love? God's answer to all of us and to that challenge is first things first. First things first. Are you and I getting tired of going to work and school and our everyday life? And here we are, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but we're not having much of an influence and impact on people's lives. Are you getting tired of not having a saving impact on the lives of your loved ones for Jesus? God's answer to us today is still first things first. I want us to look at Acts chapter 1. Let me read it again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I would like to suggest that this verse has a divine sequence. How many times I've looked at this verse, I've read this verse, like I pass through some of the little towns here in Oregon. I don't stop and smell the flowers. I don't stop at the little stores and buy something there. We need to stop at this store here. There's a lot here. There's a divine sequence here. Do you see it? What is the most important thing? Where do we start? What's first things first? What's the first part? Number one, first we need to receive this power from God. And if we consider our Christianity as we consider our walk, we just do the opposite. We go out and we try to tell. We go out and we try to witness without having this power from on high. We must begin first and prepare our lives to receive this power from on high. And then number two, when we do, we will, what does the Bible say here? Right here, it's God's divine sequence. We will want to witness about Jesus Christ. That will be the focus of our witness. If we have a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, then we will talk and love to talk about Jesus. And whether we're talking about the Sabbath or the state of the dead or whatever it is, we are going to talk about Jesus. And then thirdly, then God outlines where he wants us to share. Isn't it interesting here? Where does he want us to share? First, our unsaved loved ones, then to our friends, then to our non-attending members, and then to the strangers. First things first. Now, some people think, and I used to think this way too, some people think, well, boy, if I could just preach like Billy Graham. Yeah. If I could just preach like Doug Batchelor or, one of those preachers. Wow, boy, could I be used of the Lord if I could just preach like them. Or if I just had all the proof texts down. Had them down right. I had them all memorized. I just throw it out there and really give it to them. 1, 2, 3, 4, If I did that, if I just had that certain gift. Oh, I wish I had that gift that certain person has. I just had that. Then I could be really effective. If I could have all the skills to be able to witness, to have all the skills down, right? If I just went to college and got a lot more education, get a lot of education. If I had a lot of money, boy, could I do a lot of things with money. I could buy this and this and this and this and would help the church and help the cause. If, friends, all these things are important. All of these skills and talents are vital. But first things first, first things first. Without the filling of the Spirit, without the Spirit's filling, there's no impact. There's no power to save. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference between convincing someone and working with someone and the Holy Spirit working with you so that that person is convicted of that truth. How many times as I search series of my life, as I search my graph of life, I convinced people, but there was no conviction. And this reminds me of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And I would like to suggest that you read it again for the first time. Read it again in a different way. Whenever it speaks of love, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, you see, the Corinthian Christians, their problem was they had a lot of the gifts of the Spirit. It was really going on a lot when it came to the gifts of the Spirit there, but they were misusing them. They were abusing them. Their problem was they need to be filled with the Spirit. And one of the manifestations of being filled with the Spirit is love. Love. So the next time you read it again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to read it just verses 1, 2, and 3 with that in mind. And in place of love, I'm going to put the word filling of the Spirit. And I want you to see it in a new light. Reading from the Clear Word Bible paraphrase, it goes like this. If I had the gift of speaking any language, but did not have the filling of the Spirit, I would be nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbals. If I had the gift of predicting the future and could understand all science and famine, all knowledge, if I had the gift of faith to do and work miracles so that I could move mountains, but I did not have the filling of the Spirit, I would be worthless. If I gave everything I had to the church and enough money to feed the world, if I became a martyr by being burned to death for Christ, but I didn't have the filling of the Spirit, all such acts would count for nothing. Now, read it again for the first time. In my library, I have a book called Gospel Workers. By the way, we're all gospel workers. You don't have to be an ordained minister to be a gospel worker. And in this book, On page 284, the Christian writer says this: a minister, we're all ministers, a minister may be able to present the letter of the Word of God. He may be familiar with all of its commands and promises, but his sowing of the gospel seed will not be successful unless this seed is quickened into life by the dew of heaven. What's the dew of heaven? To be filled with the Spirit. This baptism of the Spirit, this power from on high. And then she goes on and says this: without the cooperation of the Spirit of God, no amount of education, no advantages, however great, can make one channel of light. Now, I'd say that's pretty humbling, don't you think? But one, before one book of the New Testament had been written, before one gospel sermon had been preached after Christ's ascension, the Holy Spirit came upon the praying disciples. Unquote. Are you and I serious about allowing the Holy Spirit to take more control of our lives? Are we serious about wanting to meet the conditions on the basis of the Word of God? Starting in March 27, on Tuesday evenings, I want to invite those who would like to come. I'm going to talk about each one of those conditions, and we're going to have lots of praying together, preparing our hearts and our lives. Excuse me. March 27, way into March, I'm going to start. Prior to that, it'll be that Bible study class. I wanted to go over them. What are they? Just very briefly. What are the steps? What are the conditions? You have them there in your notes. Notice them on the bottom. Number one, an intense desire to be filled with the Spirit. A desire. Number two, acceptance of God's acceptance of me in Christ. In other words, do you have the assurance of eternal life? Number three, a willingness to rid sin in my life. Number four, confession of unbelief. Number five, a grace commitment to love, accept, and forgive others as Christ has already done to me. And number six, a desire to be fitted to have a saving impact on the lost. Are you tired of just kind of existing as a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church. My name is in the church books, and I just kind of come and I go. Do you want something more than that? I do. I desire that for my life. I want the Spirit of God to have me. I want to die to self. I want to be broken. I want to be able to be effective for Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to live through me. I challenge you, through this year of 2007, to prepare our hearts for the filling of the Spirit. For again, friends, if the Spirit of God is not in control in our lives, that's the early rain. We will not experience the latter rain. Let us prepare for the latter rain by being filled with the Spirit. And so my challenge to you is Luke, the 24th chapter and verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power on high. Let's pray. Precious Father in heaven, today as we have heard your word, we thank you for this awesome, awesome text of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We've read it again, maybe for the first time. We see the divine sequence, Lord. We've been trying to witness before we had this power from on high. And when that happens, Lord, we know from experience Jesus is not lifted up. Only the doctrines without Jesus. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. But help us today to give you a chance to make yourself real to us. Thank you. Thank you that you can enliven us and use us to be a witness for you in our family, among our friends, in this community, in the world wherever we go, and in Cuba. We give you praise and glory, Lord, for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.